Brothers and sisters, you are going to listen to a sermon by Dirk Sikkens, pastor of the Full Gospel Church in Kampen. And the subject is Enduring Suffering. Will you please open your Bible at Revelation 12, verse 1. And this particular chapter has set me thinking on many occasions. The book of Revelation was not written to make us afraid, but the words which Jesus received from his Father and which he passed on to John have been written so that we will become strong with God's help. A great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant, and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns on his heads. And his tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. This prophecy does not concern Mary, even though all sorts of churches and convents, which tourists like to visit, depict her with 12 stars around her head and a baby Jesus in her arms. It is almost impossible to find an explanation of this particular chapter, which does not refer to Mary and Jesus. Now my question is, how can a prophecy be spoken out about an event which has already taken place? That is surely nonsense. Revelation is written for the things that still have to happen, for events to come. Fortunately, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we have discovered that this text is about the church whose place is in heaven as the free Jerusalem. And out of this city, out of this woman, will come people who are spiritually free when the time is ripe, and who will fulfill God's purpose. They have become spiritually mature. This woman and mother is pregnant. A church that does not have this expectation will never give birth to a son. And how do you keep this expectation alive within yourself? By believing that God's seed, which has been planted in you, his word will grow, that God's word will become flesh and blood and take shape in a person. And to me, this is what is so beautiful about a mother, a woman who is pregnant and within herself gives shape to the seed of man. That is beautiful. And for that very reason, they cannot do without each other. And in her pregnancy, she cries out because her time has come. She has been looking forward to this moment, and now the pains come. She did not ask for the pain, but she certainly has them. And many people think that in the middle of the pain, she is praising and full of thanks, and that God is paying attention to the songs of the praise of this church. Now, this is something I have never read in the Bible. After you have had a victory, then you want to praise and glorify God. In Exodus 3, verse 7, and the following verses, it says, for example, the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. God paid attention to their cries. When you pretend you have no pain, and you stand there praising and glorifying God, what help should you expect? Please never force yourself to be positive, because it is a lie. When you have pain, you cry out in that pain. Jesus says in John 16, verses 20 and 21, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into this world. She has grieved now, but in a short time she will grieve no more. Now let us return to our text in Revelation 12. Two signs are mentioned here. One is the woman, and the other is the dragon. The first sign is from God, and the second one is the devil himself. You yourself are the sign from God. Just think about that for a second. Whenever you ask the Lord for a sign, just remember that you yourself are that sign. Jesus said when he spoke about the end times, in Matthew 24, verse 30, "At that time the sign of the Son of Man will appear." What is that sign he is talking about? Is it something which the Father and Jesus are looking forward to? Namely, the woman out of whom the creation story will finally become reality? People in my image and likeness? God has never stopped believing in this, and he hopes that you believe it also. Would you like to be totally free of all your earthly certainties? Do you think you could do it? Can I do it myself? If we don't watch out, we will be running after some theory or other instead of putting what we know into practice in our own life. The sign from God is the fully grown seed of the woman. But the devil also wants to have seeds, the seed of the serpent. And from this seed, sons will also come forth. And both signs speak of God. Two groups of sons and two signs. How do you know the difference? Now, before the woman in Revelation 12 gives birth, something else happens first in the heavens, and it is the following. The dragon's tail sweeps through the heavens and flings stars out of the way, many stars out of the sky. Before the woman gives birth, there will first be a great deception. And what is this deception? Well, it has several sides, but it is the great deception. And Paul calls this deception the falling away. And this is connected with the birth pains of the woman. It says in verse 2, she cried out in her pain. So practically speaking, the church, but also each individual, has a terrible, difficult time because something is being brought forth and you would want to assist in this process. Later on, there is talk of birth pains. The word used for this in Greek comes from a little word meaning touchstone. The pains are decisive trials, and that is what makes the birth process so painful. You are faced with things in your life which you didn't ask for, but they are there. God does not send us these trials, but they do come. You can rely on the devil for this baptism in fire. This fire is a sort of reddish fire. And the beast is also reddish. You see the glow of flames, just like a campfire. A fiery phenomenon. It is light, but a different kind of light. And in the old covenant times, they would have called it strange fire. God warns us, don't put that kind of fire on my altar. I don't want to see it in front of me. I've already said that a word used comes from the Greek word, which means touchstone. And when Jesus tells the parable of the sower, he says, there are those seeds who are terribly enthusiastic in the beginning and say, yes, this is it, Jesus is Lord. You could say their enthusiasm knows no bounds. But a little further on it says, and when the trials come, they fall away. When difficulties come, they do not want to have any part in it, and they prefer to fall away rather than face the trials. They will indeed be spared the trials. But when you think about it, Jesus' choice was for the trials. That was a very difficult decision to make. We can speak quite lightly about it, but it really was a most difficult decision. If you choose to go for the ideal on earth, and you know you will have plenty of opposition, then you have to take the consequences into account. whenever you choose to have a baby, there are many things you will have to take into account. And all the things you will have to endure are lightened by what will come at the end. That's the way it is. The pains that go with birth, they are the trials. They are the deciding factors as to whether you really want it or not. It certainly costs us a lot of trouble, let me tell you, to remain standing and to discern or know the difference. If you persevere in trouble and suffering, you will be rewarded. There is only one who brings suffering, and that is the devil. And the only goal he has in mind is to rob God of what he has set in his heart, of what he has set his heart on. And that is the spiritual person in you. The devil does not want God to have sons. People like God, that must be stopped at all costs. Have you never noticed this yourself? Suddenly you are under attack for no apparent reason. It seems as if everything is being snatched away from you. It is as if the devil lays his hands on your cloak to take away your righteousness. Those who have made the choice to face the trials, they know what I'm talking about. These are the pains which a true Christian must go through. They make it clear whether someone is sincere or not. God is not the author of them. The devil is the one who brings pain on us, and God tries to find a way so that we can endure what has come upon us. We are not safeguarded against pain, but you learn to endure the oppression. In times like this, there are people who would like to have an anesthetic in the spiritual sense during the birth process. But that is not the way it works. Just like Peter said to Jesus, "Oh God, won't allow that to happen." And what is Jesus' reaction to these seemingly comforting words that Satan spoke? He says, "Get behind me, Satan." So, if something of that sort should happen to you, don't immediately start shouting, but know where it comes from. If you safeguard a child against all difficulties during the early years, just see what happens when he or she is 20. They will be totally dependent on you. They will have learned nothing. They won't be able to think for themselves, have been thoroughly spoiled. They will not be able to put up any resistance. Be very careful about anesthetics, forced praise, imposed worship. You may forget the difficulties for a little while, but all too soon they are right back in front of you, and you will be even less able to cope with them. Don't do it. Let the Word heal your inner person. It is the Lord who heals, not the anesthetic. The tale of this huge reptile, a mythical monster, sweeps through the sea of stars, which are all the Christians who have been given a high position thanks to God's mercy. And the tip of the tail is searching for any that might be able to remove from the high position. It succeeds. It is successful in toppling a third of the stars. What is the tale? In Isaiah 9, verse 14, it says, "The prophets who teach lies are the tale." So there will be prophecies at the drop of a hat. Where? In the newspaper? No, in paradise, in the church. And they try to shift you from your high position. And they do it in the name of the Lord. That is the intention. A prophet who teaches lies. And the Bible says, he sweeps, which indicates that there is force behind it. You are forced to do something again. They lost their high place, and what do they let go of? Their heavenly calling. They prefer the honor of people and of the members of the church instead of the honor of God. It's a spirit of error, because the venom is in the tail, and the venom is poison. The temptation begins to find its way among the children of God, just as Eve was tempted in paradise, and Adam succumbed. That is where the deviation begins, not somewhere from outside, but among God's children, and some of them believe the lie. The lie is that there is another way of becoming like God, without having to go through the pains which can be so painful. They don't cooperate. They want to become like God by another method, and the devil works with them. In any case, the stars that have fallen out of the heavens did not endure the pains. They never had any problems. They make fun of you because you have difficulties. They don't consider you to be a real Christian. It was said to Job, "You sit on a dung heap and you still claim you are innocent? That is not possible. God must dislike you." And these are the people who are supposed to comfort you. They are standing in the service of the unrighteousness, and they set themselves up against the innocent. Sometimes I think, what did those men want with Job? Why did they go to him? Did they say to each other, "Have you heard the news already? Things are very bad for Job." And then they go to him, but not to take him out of his misery, but to make him even more miserable. Now the word for dragon in Greek is drakon. This comes from the verb derg, and that means see. So the evil one has eyes especially on the woman who is about to give birth. He stands right in front of her, and he tries to hypnotize her, distract her, to divert her attention, and to seize her totally. Just take a look at verse 14. "The woman was given the two wings of a great eagle, so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the desert, where she would be taken care of for a time, times and half a time, out of the serpent's reach." She did not allow herself to be misled by the gaze of the serpent. Now, if there is a tree in your garden and the owner says, "You will die if you eat from that tree," what is it that suddenly makes this tree so attractive? In the book of Genesis, we are told that the tree was pleasing to the eye. Now, that's a powerful attraction. Just as many people at the present time are preoccupied with death, I think to myself, what attraction is there in it? What is so nice about death? There is much too much importance attached to the physical death. Paul says, it has been dispensed with. Don't think about it again. What draws you towards it? What excites you? What is so attractive about the fruit of the wrong tree that makes you think you can become like God by eating its fruit? In the story about paradise, the Hebrew word used for snake or serpent is nahash. Do you know what that means? It means godlike, shining, bewitching, or hypnotizing. And I don't think that anyone is in doubt that this is of the occult. And if you do not watch out, he will try to drag you down with his words and with his eyes. His character hasn't changed one little bit since the Garden of Eden. When Jesus was in the desert, he circled around him to see if he could find anything in him where he could increase his powers of attraction. But he could not find anything at all. And then he said, "If you will only bow your knee to me once, I will give you the whole earth." A very tempting proposition, very attractive. Then you will be honored like God. And the devil won't try to stop you. He's only too pleased that you are in his service. He hasn't changed his character at all. And what does it say in verse 9? It mentions that ancient serpent. Now, if you will allow me, I would like to give you an example of what that poison is in the tale. I once received a letter which contained, among other things, the following. we shouldn't be so comfortable in our spiritual worlds. The writer of the letter probably thought we do nothing when we are in a spiritual world. And this person advised me to give up this comfortable life in the heavens and to get into action on earth because of the many signs of the times and such dreadful problems. And then I know that this person has become blind, because he has the idea that we are sitting at our ease somewhere in the heavens. He doesn't see our spiritual battle. These people would also like you to start praying for the world. They want the whole earth to be full of the glory of the Lord instead of starting in heaven, in God's kingdom, close to the Father's heart. They want you to pray for the governing bodies on earth, for tyrants, for all the people who exercise power on earth, for political parties. As Christians, they want to have influence. And then I think to myself, what do they want to have influence over? As Christians, what do you spend your time on? You're just like a political party. Remember politics and religion. In the future, they will have to go together. Otherwise, you will never have any influence over people. Campaigns have to be organized. And what does Jesus say in John 17, verse 9? I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, because it will be difficult enough for them. Pray that they will hold on to their faith. The devil is shaking the church, and unless you are asleep, you will have noticed it. It is also a mistake to seek the honor of man. If you do that, you are actually trying to gain power on earth by getting everyone to like you. You are also anxious to hear the testimonies of others, and then you can give your testimony. That is not being witness. We are witnesses of the Father. I am extremely happy and proud of the clothes God has given me. That is what I am proud of, not my own righteousness. There is also the problem of long, drawn-out healings. There is a temptation in it, and you may finally reach the states when you think, I'm going to stop altogether. They begin to complain, and they decide to leave the caravan in the desert, and they eventually die in the desert. Annoyances. Some people get annoyed very quickly. Someone once said, do you think I'm going to sit in the church with that hypocrite of a brother? And then I begin to ask myself just who is failing there? You could also call that a woe. And Jesus said, woe to the world because of the things that cause people to sin. There's a whole world of annoyances. And you can get annoyed about everything. And these are the very things that cause you to fall. Jesus had sufficient reasons to be annoyed with Judas the traitor, but it doesn't even enter his mind. The main goal of Jesus is to save people. And that is also what you intend to do when you will most certainly have enemies. Please do not allow yourself to be bewitched like Adam and Eve, or allow yourself to be misled just like the third of the stars. Do not be swept away by the tail. That is where the poison is. But test the spirits yourself whether they are from God or not. Because, Jesus said, many false prophets are already in the world. Many. And they all speak in the name of Jesus and Christ and God. But they are false. They want to get you off the narrow path. Everything is fine when you're on the broad path. But if the path becomes narrow, just like it is in the birth process, if you know what I mean, then you get oppressed. You come under pressure from both sides. Now, when the stars are swept out of heaven, where do they fall? They fall on earth. They think, we've been spiritual for so long. They are under the impression it's a way of living. but it is life. They have the feeling, now we want to do something, and immediately they crash on earth. It seems to them that that is where you should put it into practice. Once again, the social gospel is being heralded in, but you have left an empty place behind in the heaven. As well as that, do you know who is recruited from those stars? All the false prophets. They had a high position, but they didn't retain it. They descend to earth. They don't endure any pains, and they are proud of it. They say, because the Lord is with us, and we have no difficulties whatsoever. You should be able to recognize the voices. Just take a look at Jesus on the cross. He had it really difficult. You are such a great healer, come down from the cross. And you call yourself the Son of God, just look at him hanging there. Well, if you are really the Son of God, then do you recognize the taunts? Surely you know them from the unseen world. You got to do something. You must have some achievements. As if in some way you have to prove God. And God searches for a way to breathe courage again into his only son. And the only one who was available was one of the criminals. He was not a member of the church. His name was nowhere to be found in the address system or among the cards. All he had was a long criminal past. And this man said, "When you come into your kingdom, will you think of me?" And Jesus says, "Thank you, Father. I have just been given the promise that I will come into that kingdom." Through a criminal, God had found a tiny way to encourage Jesus in his suffering. At a precious time, religious waves are crashing over the world. Not the late rains from the cloud. No, waves with force behind them. And these waves are coming from the sea. They are the religions of the world. And the foaming waves are lashing the coastlines and the rest of the world, trying to sweep everyone away with them. And Jesus says, "One will be swept away and the other will be left behind." Why? Because the latter will remain standing. That person will not be carried away. That is what it says in the original Hebrew text. The waves will go over him. Will you remain standing? It was just like it was during Noah's time. And what did Jesus say? The people are only concerned with eating and drinking and thanking the Lord again and again for the earthly blessings. And they know exactly who is going with whom and who is getting divorced again. That is what they spent their time talking about. Marrying and be given in marriage. And what else does it say? They notice nothing. That's your drugged condition. You are occupied with the things of the world, while the world is enveloped in darkness. In other words, you are asleep. You are not aware of it, but you are asleep, and that is a pity. Because they who sleep, sleep at night in darkness. No matter how busy they might appear, their mind has already become darkened. I hope there is nobody here who is asleep. But the people who have fallen out of heaven have become unfaithful to their origins. About whom are these words also spoken? In Jude verse 9, the devil. In the Gospel of John it says, "He did not remain in the truth." And these words refer to the devil. He did not continue to believe God. He preferred to have faith in himself. And these did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their own home. I thought we were strangers here on earth. You don't feel at home here, do you? You do? Then you will most likely become very attached to it. Well, that's a pity, because God feels at home in the spirit of man, and you are his house.
Jesus said, watch out that you do not do your righteous deeds for the benefit of people, so that they will take notice of you. Because, he continues, then you will have no reward with the Father who is in heaven. The reward in this case is the honor of people. What Jesus means here is to be discreet, just be quietly active in the heavenly places. That is our work area. And the Father's reward, that will come. That means that you have become mature. It also means that you are entering the land where you have longed to be. That you can do the things you have been wanting to do. But first there must be a separation. And this is what the oppression will bring about. If you say, this problem is much too big for me, you just tell that to God, because that is being honest, being real. Nobody asks for pain or for woes. Peter called it the fire of oppression. And I know what that fire is. It is the religious spirits, which with prophecies, which finish with the words, so saith the Lord. And the Lord has revealed to me, which Lord? The dragon? And where does it begin? It begins with a match. In Dutch, a match is called the Lucifer, which was the name given to the devil before his fall, and meant bearer of light. It begins with a match, Jesus says. James says, consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. It says a great forest. But that is not what it says in the original Greek. It says a heap of wood. And that reminds me of a remark Jesus made to the weeping woman. They had great sorrow for Jesus, but Jesus knew they served no purpose, and he said, if you must cry about something, then cry for yourselves, because I am the young wood full of sap. If they do this to me, what will happen to the dried out wood? It will burn like a torch. And that starts with a little match. Life had once been in the wood, which is now dead. That enthusiastic life in the beginning, but it has now disappeared. It has become wooden. And what is the cause of that? The tongue also is a fire. It begins with a word, little word, with prophecy, strange fire, which God has not sought. In the same way, at this present time, I see the flames spreading throughout Christianity. I don't say this in a dramatic way, but you can also sense that the flames are licking around to you to see if there is anything to destroy, whether wood, hay, or straw can be found, old patterns of thought, in which there is no longer a glimmer of life. These are the things that will be burnt. They are sweeping through Christianity and through the Pentecostal movement, and they are sweeping through the full gospel with the intention that the teachings about the invisible things and the invisible life that God gives will be set aside, and we will lose our position in heaven. For example, we have been busy for such a long time. Now it's time we got down to doing something. And then I think to myself, what have you been doing up to now? Religious flames? They destroy everything that does not have life. By whom was Jesus condemned? By the religious who use the name of God. When God wants to reveal himself in his children, the devil becomes active, and so you have day and night. That's why I find the expression in Isaiah 21 so beautiful. Morning is coming, but also the night. I can understand that. He has come and has been revealed in his people, and it is still night. It is the answer to the question, watchman, what is left of the night? And he names two things. The life is God's day in you. And you are shining in the dark world around you. Yes, and it will get even darker. But don't fall asleep like one of the foolish virgins. Do you know what it says in Greek for the word foolish? Blunted. Brothers and sisters who have become blunt are those who know everything and have already spent years in the church and say, "You can't tell me anything new." When you hear this, you know that this person has fallen asleep. Do you know Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah? Most of you probably know them better as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These names originated and had their roots deep in the occult world and had been presented to the moon goddess. But their original names had been Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And their meaning is, "God is merciful. Who is like God? And God helps." These three men were high officials in the Babylonian Empire. You could say they were servants of high rank, deep in the false church. But the second name, which had been given to them by someone, they did not accept in their heart. They remained faithful to their first and original name. They had, in the same way it was said of Moses, forfeited the high position, and just like Moses, considered the insults for Christ's sake to be far richer than all the Babylonian treasures, for the simple reason that they kept their eyes firmly fixed on the promises God had made. They were not satisfied with being perfect caterpillars. As long as a caterpillar remains a caterpillar, he has not attained his final goal. What is important is the butterfly who emerges, the image of God which is called forth. Be active in your spiritual development, and the natural things will follow of their own accord. And if there is opposition to your development, you just make sure you continue flying in Father's heaven, in God's kingdom. Just take a look at Daniel 3. If you think you all know the story of the burning interface. I think you all know the story of the burning interface. Let's take a closer look at it. First of all, they were betrayed. A group of people approach Nebuchadnezzar, anxious to tell him that they pay no attention to you, none whatsoever. When everyone is on their feet shouting and jumping, they remain sitting. And when everyone is kneeling, they remain standing. How is this possible? They won't join us. Nebuchadnezzar gets very angry. And what does he say in verse 14? Is this intentional? Are you not joining in on purpose? And what is the answer? Verse 16 tells us, "We do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter." Their faces took on the appearance of flint. "Will you not join us?" "No, we don't want to be dragged into it." Deep in their hearts, their original names took precedence. If you remember, the original meaning of their names was "God with us." And then in verse 17, I read something that is really for believers. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from your hand, O King. And then the remark follows, which is really amazing. "But even if he does not, we want you to know, O King, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold which you have set up. Whether we live or die, here we stand. We cannot and we do not want to act differently, but we will not kneel before this huge religious god you have created and set up. It has no meaning for us, and we will not join in." Paul says to the Ephesians, "And after you have fulfilled your task, having done everything to stand, so you have finished the task you were given. You have managed to acquire space in which to move. Now hold on to it." We are in fact facing a period of time in which you must not go along with all religions, but must remain standing in spite of tests and temptations. Do you now understand what Jesus meant when he said, "On account of my name, everyone will hate you"? And who is everyone? They are the stars that were swept out of heaven, and those who listen to him. They are the religious people, the so-called Christians. And you will be hated by them. Stay standing. What does it say in verse 27? They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies. So the spiritual fire had no power over their spiritual status, nor was a hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched. When it can be said of you that there is not even a smell of burning on the righteous clothes with which you have been covered, that means nobody can guess what you have come through. They cannot even see by your outward appearance the difficulties you have had, for the simple reason that no damage has been left behind. Stay standing. Remain firm in God's grace. That is your life, in the midst of trials and temptations. Jesus also went through the trials, and a servant should not think that he is more than his master. If you should not have trials, then you should be aware of a warning signal, or you are asleep. In the future, do not bow to the great Christian world religion. That image is not from God. Remain standing upright in the storm. You are clothed with a mantle of righteousness, which is the strength with which God honors you. That will be your greatest strength, let me tell you. In one of the five books which have not been included in the Bible, I found what the three men had prayed and sung while they were in the furnace. I'll just read a little bit from it. They said, "You have given us into the hands of our enemies who are godless, and to the worst of those who have fallen away, and to an unscrupulous king who is the most evil one of the whole world. We hardly dare to open our mouths. We have become the target for jokes and shame among the servants who minister to you. For the sake of your name, do not let this be the end of us. Do not break your covenant. And for the sake of Abraham, whom you love, and to whom you promised that you would make his descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, do not remove your compassion from us. There you have the stars. Accept us, broken-hearted and humble in spirit. Then we will not be ashamed that we trusted in you. Rescue us according to your miracles, and let them see that you are the Lord." And then the following happens. The servants of the king, who had thrown the three men into the furnace, continued to fend the flames, which shot many meters beyond the top of the furnace, and killing those who were standing nearby. And the angel of the Lord descended to Azariah and his companions in the furnace. And then he pushed the flames out of the furnace, and right in the middle there came a sort of gentle breeze which kept the flames from touching them. It did not harm them, and they had nothing to worry about. That is what it means to testify. What did they do? They did not join in with the others. Amen. Let us pray. Father, sometimes I have sweat on my forehead when I think about the oppression that is coming upon us. The only thing I know, Lord, is that when these things begin to happen, I can only be strong by your grace, by not allowing ourselves to be misguided into leaving our heavenly position, but to always keep in mind the connection between you and us, the new covenant. That there is no chance of us being plucked away or cut off, but that we will be aware of the work that you have done within us. Lord, then there will be no need for us to be afraid of all that will happen around us. We do see it, and it is happening. But by your grace, we will be so strong that we will remain standing. Father, for then the sons for whom you have waited so long will be revealed. I thank you that you have always believed that this would come about. I bless my brothers and sisters with the thoughts that you have concerning them. Amen.